Every Thursday night at this time, we welcome Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt of Levitt, Shake, Chaudhry & Swan Employment and Labor Lawyers, to join us for a half hour of employment law on the night side. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Barb.
How are you?
I'm great.
Sounds like you're out and about, Howard.
I am. I'm out at a restaurant in Kleinburg with some friends because you can't eat in a restaurant in Toronto. So we have a restaurant with apparently the second largest tent in the whole GTA, other than what Harbour 6 used to have. There's probably 150 people here. And I'm sure 95% of them are Torontonians.
Oh, is that right? And do you think, like, people frown upon that? You're not supposed to leave. Well, yeah, you know that.
Well, okay. That's never really bothered me.
Yeah, and I guess the restaurant doesn't have an issue with it because they're busy.
Correct. They're packed. And they're probably mostly 416ers. But look, people are at their individual tables. They all take tables of more than four. And we're fine within our group of four.
Okay, so you and everyone, and you've, see, you know, it's funny because I know you've been out and about as things opened up. I hadn't been back out to a restaurant for inside dining, so I can't even comment on whether I felt safe or not, but it sounds like you're very comfortable.
Very comfortable. It's a massive tent. I did do inside dining a week ago in Thornhill at a Chinese restaurant, QJD Beijing Duck, and it was great. They put us a little, again, a group of four, actually three at a little table, and there was no one else in that particular room. So
right.
They do a lot of social spacing. So you stay within your bubble wherever you are.
All right. I'm not sure about your sound. We might have a little bit too much background noise, but we're going to keep going.
Sorry, let me see what I can do. Okay.
Well, it's better now. You sound like you're a little bit closer to your phone, so that helps a little bit.
Okay, thank you, Barb. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Look, I have a question for you, and phone lines are open if you have any employment law questions. 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. A British news anchor has been taken off the air for 6 months and has admitted she is an idiot to her fellow colleagues. The veteran journalist was caught hosting an illegal 60th birthday party in London in a clear breach of their government's rule of six. Apparently, she's going to be suspended on full pay, but it got me thinking because, for instance, people like that, what we do, or the news anchors, we're telling people what the government is telling you to do. And then if we go out and break the rules, is that cause to fire someone?
Well, if you're in a prominent position like you, it may well be. If you're just an average Joe Blow, it probably isn't. I mean, that's the point. It depends on what your function is in society, what your function is in your company. And to the extent you're the brand of the company, it's breaking the law is more likely to be cause for discharge.
Yeah, I mean, is that surprising to you that she would have been suspended with pay?
Well, you know, big companies tend to do that. Government agencies tend to do that. My clients don't tend to do that. They tend to, and I never recommend suspending with pay. I figure if you give them pay, you're almost condoning it. If you don't give them pay, you can always pay them back later. Arguably, a suspension without pay is a constructive dismissal, but it's a short-term period while you investigate, then it won't be a constructive dismissal. In any event, they've already know all the facts, I suspect. There's probably not a whole lot to investigate. They know exactly what she did. So, yes, it doesn't surprise me because a lot of companies do that in a de facto way, just by a first reflex, but it's a bad mistake in most cases.
All right. Howard Levitt is here for
her case. It weakens their case right off the bat. It pays money they don't have to pay.
Yeah, for sure. 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Howard Levitt is here until 9 o'clock, and Dennis is on the line. Hi, Dennis. Go ahead with Howard.
Yeah. I just like to ask a question. I've been working for 21 years at a church as a part-time, a contract worker, 20 hours a week. And I'm just wondering if they decide to let me go, or something happens in that area. I was just wondering if they owe me anything, or.
Okay, look, you've worked 20 hours a week for 21 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
You call yourself a contract worker. You're not a contract worker. I don't care if you invoice. I don't care if they don't deduct tax. You're not a contract worker if you're working for the same place regularly for any amount of time for 21 consecutive years. Let's start with that proposition. So yes, second point is, yes, they owe you severance pay based on 21 years of service. Now, how old are you?
74.
Oh, that's actually quite good. And what do you earn a year?
I'm earning roughly $15 an hour.
Okay. So about 300, so it's 16,000 a year, 15,6 a year. And
yeah, I think it's 17,500.
Okay. I guess you get a little bit of overtime then. In any event, it'd be 15,6 at exactly 20 hours an hour a week. So what's your position there?
I'm a janitor.
I would think a court would probably give you about 14 months pay.
Wow.
And that's within the $35,000 small claims court limit. The fact they call you a contractor does not make you a contractor. The fact you invoice doesn't make you a contractor. What makes you a contractor is if you had a bunch of different employers, so to speak, and were on call, and some weeks you were called in, some weeks you weren't called in. You had different people who you worked for. You could say yes to them, no to others. They could say yes to you, no to others. That's what a contractor is. A contractor is not somebody who works regularly for every week, year after year. You've not been a contractor for at least 20 years.
Now, they had me sign a note 2 or 3 years ago that they could let me go with 2 months' notice.
Well, happily for you, a 2 months' notice, well, the payroll will be under $2.5 million. It depends on, the note may or may not be enforceable. I'd have to see the note. Most employment contracts in Ontario are not enforceable. I'd say about 95% of contracts are not enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
The Employment Standards Act for you probably would be only 8 weeks, not the number of months, the 14 months we spoke about. But again, the contract itself has to be enforceable. Did they give you anything when you signed the contract in return for signing the contract?
No.
Well, then it's not enforceable. To be enforceable, you have to get something in return for the contract. And in any event, given some recent case law in Ontario in the last year, the contract's probably not enforceable anyway.
Mm-hmm. I see. That sounds great.
Yes, Dennis.
Probably
if
is.
If it's a difference between two months and 14 months.
Yeah, I would say, if I could guess, I would say there's about a 95% chance you would win your case, maybe higher. Look, there's a 100% chance if you got nothing in return for signing the contract. But even if you're wrong on that, there's probably a 90-plus percent chance you'd win the case because the contract itself wouldn't have been signed 3 years ago.
All right.
Wow.
Dennis, I mean, I think you need to... Oh, sorry, hang on 1 second. Let me get you back on. Sorry, Dennis. Are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, I'd be just happy to keep my job, quite frankly.
Obviously,
keeps me in shape. But, you know...
And Dennis, by the way, if there's any hint they're letting you go because of your age, you get more money.
Yeah, but I mean, how would I prove that?
Well, I don't know. It depends on the circumstance in which they let you go. It depends who they replace you with. If they replace you, it depends on a lot of things. Every case is different. But there's lots of facts you can't even begin to conceptualize at the beginning of a case.
Well, I'm extremely happy what you just told me.
You might want to give Howard a call and find out a little bit more. Probably worth it if it does come to that, Dennis. Because you know what, Howard, I was just going to say, for the difference between 2 months and 14 months, it's worth paying for a consultation.
Yes. Although he's just had his consultation, fairness, Barb.
No, that's true. Well, yeah, exactly. So if it does happen, then he knows who to come to.
Yeah.
All right. We've got Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer. He is with us until the top of the hour. We are going to take as many of your calls as possible. So let's go right back to the phones. Howard, if you are ready.
I am ready.
Perfect. We've got Marco on the line. Hi, Marco.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Marco. Go ahead with your question.
So I had a previous employer where we were getting paid a base salary and getting paid commission on top of our whatever our base salary was. We had a previous previous employer that we all worked for. Mentor left to start this new company, and we got joint in a lawsuit. But we had just left and started our own business. But he didn't pay us our wages before leaving, and was wondering if I was an employee at the time, And I'm just wondering if that's something that, as an employee, we're entitled to monies that were not paid based on the over and above our salary.
I'm not sure what you mean by paid monies paid over and above your salary.
Like a commission? Like a bonus, like a commission or a bonus.
Okay, sure. If you have earned the bonus, you can prove you've earned the bonus. There's no dispute about that. They're not arguing there's no bonus paid because the company went bankrupt or whatever. If you have an indisputable claim for a bonus, let's start with that as a premise, just like salary. It's been earned, it's been declared, you're entitled to it, and there's no doubt about that, so you're not fighting over that issue. Then you can sue not only the employer, but you can sue all officers and directors of the company at the time for those unpaid wages. This bonus is included as wages, so officers and directors are liable for it. So okay. Even if the company's insolvent now, you can still go after the officers and directors of the company.
And also, we were associated with, a lawsuit, but we got let go. But before that had happened, the lawsuit went from one amount to another, and we weren't made aware of this lawsuit kind of thing. So it kind of transpired into a whole, you said this, I said this, I'll control the lawsuit as long as you
help. I have to know a lot more detail than you're providing
to
get any real opinion on this. But I can answer a generic question, which is simply, if you're an employee and you're owed wages, whatever they be, commission wages, bonus wages, salary wages, and that's not in real dispute, then you can sue not only the employer but the officers and directors, which is why you'll see when a company's doing badly, all of a sudden all the directors resign. It's because they're afraid of being liable for everybody's wages.
Makes sense.
Okay, Marco, thanks a lot for the call. Sounds like he needs to sit down and talk with somebody. It's one of those stories where there are a lot of little details that you would need, right?
Yeah, I don't know whether he's being sued or he's suing. That was unclear, too. There seemed to be a bit of both.
Okay, yeah, okay. Next we go to, is it Ivan? Is it Ivan?
Is it Yvonne?
Yvonne. Sorry, Yvonne, go ahead.
Thanks. I work for a large cosmetics company, and I've been put on a leave, I guess, since March, since the COVID
You've been laid off.
Well, originally they said laid off, and now they're calling it a leave. When I look up my note underneath the company,
I understand. You're just using the language of the Employment Standards Act that's been revised. Go ahead. It's the same
Okay,
thing.
So what I'm wondering is, when does this leave, when is it over? Like, how long can they keep me on leave before they have to just tell me?
Are they giving you benefits? Are you continuing on your employment?
They're not. No, I'm a part-time worker.
Well, okay. They're not keeping you on benefits. It doesn't matter if you're part-time or full-time, although that's explaining why you're not getting benefits.
No benefits to part-time workers.
Yvonne, let him talk.
Sorry.
It's okay.
So here's the story. You should have sued at the time when you were laid off, because that's a wrongful or a constructive dismissal. Your next opportunity is to sue when one of two things happen. Either one, if other people get recalled to work and you don't, you can sue at that point. If that's happened, you can sue now.
Yeah.
If that hasn't happened, if that's not happened, then if you're not given benefits, which is good in this case, you can sue 19 weeks after the state of emergency ends in Ontario. And then it becomes deemed a termination, and therefore you can sue for wrongful dismissal. So if nobody gets recalled, and therefore you can't sue on that basis, you can sue 19 weeks after the state of emergency ends, and that's not that far away. So your day of reckoning will come.
Okay.
I love that. All right, Yvonne, thanks a lot for the call. I do appreciate it. Amazing. I know we've talked about this a million times. I've got another call I want to get to, but it's amazing how many people were laid off and just sort of as a group just sort of thought, well, that's what's happening to everyone. There's nothing I can do about it.
And Barb, we talked about it at the time at length and say, sue now. You may be out there for months to understand what's going on. The employer is praying. You find other work and they never have to recall you and they never have to pay anything. That's the game.
I remember the employers were getting mad at you.
Oh, they were furious. And I said, if you're going to accept, at least put a time limit on it. Say, I'll accept this for 3 months. I'll accept this for 2 months. You know, put some time period on it. But otherwise, it becomes indefinite. And now we have the discussion we've just had with Yvonne that it could, and she's lucky because they're not paying benefits counterintuitively, because if they were paying benefits, you have to wait 41 weeks after the state of emergency ended.
All right, let's go to Kasia while we still have time. Hi, Kasia. Go ahead with Howard.
Hi there. I'm an independent contractor, dentist.
Well, you say you are, but keep going.
Okay. And I work I've been working for about 3 years with a principal dentist. Anyways, there's been a few situations where I guess you can classify it as workplace bullying. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of wanted to know what my rights were because, like you said, I guess technically I'm not an employee.
You say you're not, but you know, most people who think they're independent contractors are actually employees.
Right.
If you work for many different dentists and go roam to roam and they call you in when they want to and you decide to accept an assignment when you want to, then you're an independent contractor. If you work in the same dental office every day for one principal, you're not an independent contractor at law.
So then would the rights be the same? Like where
the same as an employee, yes.
So where would you start, like, in terms of...
Are you the one being bullied?
Yes.
I gather so.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're being... Well, again... Bully is an amorphous term. If the conditions of work are made objectively untenable so that no normal person could reasonably put up with it or should have to, that's the test, then that is a constructive dismissal. And you can resign and sue as if you've been fired as an employee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
It could also be a potential suit for negligence if you're have a breakdown as a result of this. And they had reason to know that might happen if they didn't stop their bullying. There also may be, if there's human rights reasons for the bullying, there could be human rights grounds. I mean, there's lots of different issues that flow in. There's Occupational Health and Safety Act implications that step in, too. But the most common is simply a constructive dismissal if it's effectively a firing because they've treated you so badly you shouldn't have to put up with it anymore.
So then is the recommendation to stay working in the same environment?
No, because if you do that, and you've condoned what's called condone. It's what we just talked about a moment ago, and we talked about all the people who were laid off in March mm-hmm. and accepted and just kept staying there and not suing. They're deemed to have accepted the layoff. If you accept the bullying and nothing really changes, that's also a condemnation. What you should do is put in writing your concerns and express you have to resign, unfortunately, for constructive dismissal if it continues. And then if it continues, you can sue. If it doesn't continue, well, that's good.
Okay.
All right, Kasia. Thank you very much for the call. We're out of time. Howard Levitt, as always, thank you so much for spending a half hour with us.
Barb, it's my pleasure.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Howard. That's Howard Levitt. He's Canada's top employment lawyer. Levitt, Sheikh, Chaudhry, and Swan, employment and labor lawyers. Howard will be back with Jerry Agar at 10 o'clock to 10:30 tomorrow morning.